Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
She is here. I promise you she is here. And Thabiseng Tubazana, thank you so much for coming through as usual on a Wednesday. So we do take those calls, questions, 086-000-0959. WhatsApp notes on 063-688-0959. Thabiseng, you've got a very interesting case. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thanks for having me again. And the pressure.
Always lovely having you. And yes, we are sorry we had to rush you in here. Yes.
So I came across a very interesting case. Actually, was referred to me by one of your colleagues. And it really triggered something that we've talked about, even though we just skimmed over it a little bit. So in this particular case, we have a gentleman who opened a case against a woman. Rather, he is following a civil suit, actually, against a woman who ended up being pregnant with his child. But after he was raped by this woman.
Okay.
So now, the party's mom and dad of this...
Okay, breathe. Can we say now, and look, I am by no means suggesting that didn't happen or cannot happen, but were certain facts already on the table? In other words, was this an ongoing rape?
So from the way he's put it in his papers, he's saying that on the day in question, he consented to sexual intercourse with the lady.
Consented?
Yes.
Okay.
On condition that there is protection that is used, right?
Okay. So you know, I think it's so important what you're saying, because rape is a very complex word.
Correct.
And legally, it's a very complex
Correct.
Word. So I wanted to clarify that what did this, in this instance, rape look like?
Yes.
So in this instance, these were people who anyway agreed. So it's not like this was an act of someone who forced themselves on someone. It wasn't that.
Mm-mm.
They consented to the act, except that the one wanted protection and
Correct.
The other one did not want to comply.
Correct.
Got you.
Right. So the act proceeded. During the act, the woman forcefully, he doesn't go into, well, at least the part that I've read, doesn't go into exact detail how the forcefully removing the protection happened. But it happened, as he put it in his papers.
Yeah. But we, again, have to take into account these were two people who were actually intimate.
Correct.
So this is a thing about consent. It's a thing about... and it comes up a lot in the rape
yes.
cases, that did you scream?
Mm-hmm. You know, say no before he attacked.
The ridiculous thing.
Correct.
When did you say no?
Yeah, exactly.
When did you change your mind?
Mm.
You know, did the other one know that it was a call for help or it was kinky?
Mm, mm, mm.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's really at the nub of this issue. Right?
Very much so.
Okay.
So the protection was removed and then the woman continued with the act. Even though it is now, the consent has now been removed in the sense that
the
protection was
removed.
So
the person who removed it is the lady.
Correct.
Got you.
And then...
And he says he objected.
Correct.
While she removed.
Correct.
He says he protested.
Correct.
Protest in such a way that she understood he was protesting.
Yes. And she continued.
Wait. Wait there. Because court also is going to do the same thing. Right?
Correct. Yeah.
Court is going to do that. So, sorry guys, it's not trying to be graphic. He himself continued too. She didn't continue on her own.
From his papers, he did not continue. He was forced. That's why I'm saying I wish I could have access to the full founding affidavit, because it's a civil suit.
In the file, yes.
It's not a criminal suit.
Yes, of course.
Because he's saying that he is failing to get help from the police because of the stigma that men cannot be raped.
But it's a civil suit.
It's
and
a civil
again,
suit.
That's another thing.
Correct.
This is, so would you have advised him to go the criminal route if he really believes it? I would have. Would you have?
Yes, he has.
Okay.
He has. He's being let down, according to his papers,
while he was
by the
pursuing
police.
A criminal.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
And then while he was pursuing a criminal case, which didn't bear any fruit.
Yes.
The woman fell pregnant, was pregnant, had the child. Now the woman is suing him for maintenance.
Okay. So let's go back to the criminal versus the civil.
Correct.
He went to press charges for a criminal case.
Yes.
When? After she got pregnant?
No,
or
before.
Immediately when he felt he was uncomfortable and he was a victim of a crime?
Yes.
I went now.
But he did not get any assistance.
He went to the police station.
Yes.
Immediately after the fact.
That's what he says.
And went to the police and said, I've been raped.
Yes.
And the police said what? I went now. Get out of here.
Yes.
We have a, people don't know at home, we have a gentleman in studio who is killing himself. Killing himself. Thinking, it's the car.
It's not possible.
He went to the police.
Yeah.
It's
not possible.
You know?
If you recall, there was a few years ago whereby there was a gentleman, there was a crime wave of women who were driving in a BMW going around and raping men. And then those men went to go open the KC and it didn't work out so good.
So the did she ever try and defend herself, by the way?
In the criminal case?
Because it was never filed.
Correct. So I'm not sure if the CAS number, in other words, the docket was, opened,
was opened or not
in the first place. Because if the docket exists, at minimum, the NPA must look at it.
And ask her.
And bring her into us. So that part is where we are not clear as to whether or not there is a CAS number attached to the criminal part.
You know, we laugh, but I imagine there are many. It's like abusive relationships,
physical abusive relationships,
where men, you know, no one believes that she's been beating you up. No one believes she's abusive, because who's going to believe you? And when you get to the police station, they all laugh at you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
Based on the facts as they stand, because they haven't filed their replying affidavit. But based on the facts as they stand,
he's going to have a tough one, though, until you say.
Not really. And really? I'm basing this because there was a case that was done in Johannesburg many, many years ago, actually, not anything recent. But the facts are literally similar to this, except the complainant in this situation is a woman.
I was going to say that, Hori. The precedence before, maybe the case you're going to tell me, is rape victims have been poorly, not just men. So I want to make the distinction. Mm. It's not about the fact that it's a man. Any rape victim has a really tough time proving rape.
Yes.
Especially if the facts as presented to us now, where it begins as consent, you are going to be demonized. You are going to be, your character is going to be turned upside down.
Yeah.
And in this instance, the idea that there was consent, and then somewhere along the line,
it was withdrawn.
He decides. She is continuing and he's not.
Yeah.
You can see how difficult this is to comprehend.
And I think the main reason, and I remember when we were back in my legal aid days, when we were given training on rape and all of those things, the person who was conducting that training was a gentleman. And then...
Before you continue, because I want you to incorporate that into your response.
Okay.
Here's where I think the difficulty will arise. It's not in believing him. And that he believes he was raped. It's not that. It's that in some of these rape cases, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong again, it does go down, unfortunately, to the very basics of the human body.
That's exactly what I'm coming to.
And how the human body interacts. So we've now gone past the romantic part.
Correct.
We've now gone past whether you were loving each other, you were giggling or you were not giggling, or whether somebody was crying out of pleasure or pain.
Mm.
We have gone past that point. It is about whether the organs function in a particular way.
That's what I was
getting
to.
And that's where I think there will be a problem.
That's what I was getting to. So the gentleman said, for women, the way in which the J88 is dealt with when we're dealing with rape. They will show that there was a tear at 12 o'clock, there was a bruise at 3 o'clock, there was another tear at 6 o'clock, right? And then the person training us said, he's a medical doctor, he said, even when intercourse is with consent and enjoyable,
there will be a tear.
This is exactly what a vagina is going to look like. Even if there's no tear, there's going to be bruises, there's going to be this, there's going to be that. So just because those things exist does not mean
there was rape.
In the converse, when a man...
Just because there's an erection
doesn't mean
that the man was happy.
Correct, so... So the body does not work in that manner.
You see now, they're all asking them. Literally.
So like I said, it was a gentleman that was giving us this training so that we can have an understanding of how the human body works and understand that. He also said, when they say that a blunt object is used in a rape, remember that a penis is a blunt object.
You know,
it also gets bruised in the process.
You know, this is going to be tough.
Yes.
Tough. For just socially for people to grasp their heads around that.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll tell you why it's tough. Because the very same male body, right? The male body, when I say the male body, I'm not just speaking about the penis. I'm talking about the male body and the male, I suppose, psyche. The thing that makes the police laugh at another man is because to them, they haven't even themselves in their bodies accepted the fact that an erection doesn't mean I'm not happy.
Correct.
So you must convince the male body and his psyche
that I'm happy.
Erection did not mean I was happy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure everybody thinks that they can reconcile the two.
Yes. And that's what the doctor said. And he said that it is very unfortunate that boy children are not taught to emotionally
connect
with their bodies and understand what happens in their bodies.
It's unlike a physiological reaction.
Yes. Unlike girl children, they are taught every part about the emotional aspects of going through puberty. Boy children are told you're going to have a wet dream and then that's
Except, Ntabi saying, this is where things get very murky. Psychologists will then come back and say, no, it's wrong. The mechanics of the body does not mean that we're animals. It does not mean that we don't have control. Or you have to be able to learn that your emotions and your physiological responses have to work together. Whether you separate them or not, whether you connect them or not, but they do work together. And let's move away from sexual organs for a minute and say in this sense, it's about also understanding or accepting the psyche of, let's say, a serial killer, for argument's sake, right? If the science says there is something in this person's brain, some hormone or whatever gets triggered when they are in the act of killing somebody, it's a physiological issue. Tough for society to accept, right?
Yeah.
This is going to be the same. Because there are people who in their brains and in their psyche are psychopaths.
Yeah.
And that's just their makeup. Science can prove that. But society doesn't accept that.
That is very
because
correct.
We cannot have psychopaths running around having a happy time killing people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work like that.
And I will also throw this in the works as well. There's a case that I was not part of, but I was in the gallery watching it for this very reason. The woman opened a case, rape. And the argument, the accused, was that it couldn't have been rape because you had an orgasm. And I did not force myself onto you, if that's the case. The woman came on the stand. Remember, it's the state's case first. So the woman does come on the stand first, and then obviously the accused will then give his version, either through the attorney, through cross-examination, or him being on the stand. This man ended up being convicted anyway, because the woman said, I did not give consent to having sexual intercourse with this particular individual. I do not deny, however, that during the process, I did have an orgasm. But I did not give consent. So it goes back to the body reacting in its own whatever when you are not happy. And for that, that man was given 10 years. So these are the different dynamics that come with rape. Look at the case that...
But. In the original case that you have brought forward...
Yes.
We're talking about he wasn't successful criminally. He would have to go through that process.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
We're now talking about a civil matter.
Correct.
Which I think actually different things apply. In a criminal case, the issue of what happened physiologically and the consent, I think, matters a lot.
Yes.
Matters a lot.
Mm.
In the civil matter, ne?
Mm.
You have, I think, interesting dynamics here. You have agendas by the one says he must pay maintenance. He doesn't want to pay maintenance.
Oh, I forgot to give one more fact.
Yeah.
So in the civil matter, he is saying that on day two, after the incident happened, he received a text message from the lady, which is attached to his founding affidavit. The text message says, "I am sorry for having forced you to have unprotected sex."
Oh, she says that.
Yes, that's the text message that is sent to him. He replied and said how distraughted he is and all of that. A long, long paragraph about how the feeling is attached to the annexures. Now, what he's arguing, because there's a maintenance application here.
That's with this, like gay.
With this SMS that is now here and the fact that he's saying he's raped. In the Children's Act, a parent is defined as somebody who is either biological, adoptive or biological parent, except if one, the mother is raped or the child was as a result of incest, or when it was a donation of the sperm.
Yes.
And all of that. So now the part that he's challenging constitutionally is part A, which says that if a mother can say that the father cannot be deemed to be a father biologically if the child is as a result of rape, why is it limited only to mother? Whereas here I am saying that I fall within this category, but yet I am being forced to take on parental responsibilities of a child I refuse to acknowledge in the first place.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. 086-000-0959. Let's also look at those voice notes. 063-688-095. I'm sure you have lots of questions. I have lots of questions. I'm sure you are confused. I'm sure you are upset. I'm sure you are feeling all these things. Give us a call and let's see if Ntabi Singh can assist.
Okay. So Ntabi Singh and I totally disagree with this matter, because here's my take. Ne?
I think the man must go and lay and do what he needs to do, fight the state, whatever he needs to do, and have a criminal case laid against this woman. You violated me, you rape, whatever. You know, she's a criminal. End of story. She's a rapist, she's a criminal. Good. She must face the full might of the law. My problem with this case is that the poor child, when the two of them were busy fondling each other, the child was not part of this nonsense. And he has the obligation, both of them, to at least stop their nonsense, fight each other criminally, but look after the child. I just think it's wrong that the child is in the middle of two people who were busy, whatever they were doing with each other, and that's fine. He may say she took advantage, it's okay, he was whatever. Let him go and fight that with a criminal case. Let her be convicted for crime. The child cannot be taking in the middle of a mess of two people who couldn't handle each other, who said, hey, consent, haka consent, haka consent. No.
But then if you're going to say that, mm-mm, the definition of a parent says that a father cannot be deemed to be...
This is where I fully disagree with the law.
Mm-mm.
And I think the law is unfair on the child in this instance. This is the one time where I think the law has no morals. The law... the law has no sense of humanity. The law is just wrong, because the child was not in the middle of Kenya, Kenya, Tswara, Tswara...
Where was the child in all of this?
You just took me back to first year homework and morals. My mm-hmm. intro to law lecturer, Dr. Theophilopoulos, I remember him. He said, if you want to be a good lawyer, you can never mix your morals with the law.
Mm-mm.
Ever.
So here's my problem, Thabiseng. Mm. We can sit here and philosophize all we want. And the two of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no time for the two of them. Because ultimately, it comes down to a very simple, very, very simple basics.
Mm.
The child must eat. The child must go to school. The child must live.
Yeah.
While two people are fighting about fondling each other, let them fight each other. The child still has a right to have food on the table like you and I. The child cannot be in the middle of the shenanigans of two people who at some point were not sure whether they're playing or whether... No! Mwana ona must have all the rights of any child who had two people consent to having this thing together and then decide halfway through.
I fully agree that the child deserves all of that. Mm-hmm. But the law says that.
That's why I get the law. The law is wrong.
The law says that if this child is conceived through rape of the mother, the father cannot and will not be recognized by the law. Ne? That's what the law says. So in that instance, where are the rights of this child to be raised by the two kids? But the two parents.
Because the right now it begins,
what happens on the left has to happen on the right.
No, I'm not even obsessed about the who, about the woman and the man. I'm not. Here's for me the underlying sentence in what you've just said.
Mm.
It's not about the mother being raped. It's not, for me, that's not it. That's not my argument. My argument is, in this instance, we all have established that these people went into this consenting. So the rape definition in this instance is not such that this was someone who was harmed by someone and there was no consent. No, there was consent in this relationship.
And then consent and this, was removed.
No.
Yes.
They were playing each other.
Yes, here. The consent was removed. That's very important.
Yes, and that's why I say they must go criminally charge each other there. And that's fine. They can do that. The child's maintenance should still suffice because the child was born of people who were consenting and then were playing games.
That's not what the law says.
Yes, and that's a problem.
And here's another thing. Remember the case in Ngaitobi, the one that he decided about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Wherein the parties consented to everything.
Mm-hmm.
There was kissing, there was taking off clothes, there was oral.
Ooh,
everything. Everything,
you know,
was done.
They have said, "Wa stressana."
Everything was done. And then she says that upon penetration, that's when she had removed consent. She was asked, did she verbally say it? She said, I was uncomfortable. Right? So Ngaitobi said, based on the way in which everything happened, he was agreeing with you, they were confused. Based on the way everything had happened, it cannot be assumed that consent was not given at the time of penetration. You were naked. There was oral, everything that had happened. Everything happened
and
that
I
way.
Agree with
and
that.
Then the state appealed and took it to the SCA. The SCA overturned that ruling and said that this man is guilty of rape.
And I
because consent was withdrawn at a certain aspect.
And I hear.
So with that, unfortunately, children get caught in the crossfire because we have situations where maintenance of is demanded of fathers of children that they didn't even know existed. And then with that, they didn't even, with not knowing that they existed, they want paternity tests. And when paternity tests are not granted, they are told, hurabaning, they are not being men and they must pay towards maintenance. So this goes a long way to ensure that the same rights that women enjoy when it comes to children and choosing what to do with their bodies. Because remember, when a woman finds out that they're pregnant, they're usually alone. 90% of the time, we are alone. So at that moment, when you made the decision to keep that child as a woman, you did not inform this man who was involved with you in the fondling or whatever the case may be. Even in the same breath, when you as a woman make the decision to abort that child, you don't inform the man, even if he wanted that child, because it's my body, it's my rights.
And equally, I think it's wrong. Equally, I think it's wrong. So, of course, I'm not with the law on this one.
I understand.
I'm not with the law on this one because, unfortunately,
yeah,
we have a living body.
a living spirit and a living child.
Yeah.
Who, for me, unfortunately, is in the middle of the shenanigans. Mm. And I agree. Let her go rot in jail for all that has to happen. I'm okay with that. Let her get criminally charged for being wrong and for manipulating the situation.
The issue, Gimwan.
The issue is the child must live. Mm. The child must be maintained. And I'm not sure I fully... And it's exactly, it's not the lowest morals.
Yeah.
Let's go to Spoo in Randfontein. Hello, Spoo.
Hi, Tumelo.
Ooh, I'm stressed. Don't ask me how I am.
Good, good. Hi, everything.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Giggling ladies. I'm more curious than wanting to comment about 3 points, right?
Yes.
My curiosity, first of all, has there ever been a sentencing of a woman for raping a man before?
Let me not lie to you and say that I'm aware of any situation such as that. Let me say that I will research for you and I will find out if there is a rape case wherein a woman was convicted of rape, and then I will revert.
Yes, and how severe was the sentencing compared to how men get sentenced
okay.
for the same act?
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Number two, I don't know if has the lady's side of the story been heard.
No.
At any point by anyone.
At this stage, the founding papers have been served on all the parties, including the Minister of Education, I think, and the Minister of something. There's a lot of people that are cited there, but none of them have at this stage drafted their replying papers. So we will only okay. find out their story once the replying papers have been filed.
The reason being, what was the purpose? Because now I suppose there's a text now that confirms that she regrets or she's apologetic
yeah.
about removing protection. But what was the intention? Did she intend to get pregnant by this gentleman?
And didn't want him to be aware of it? Maybe.
Well, maybe it's a discussion they had. We can assume they had. He was reluctant to be a father yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she maybe she's broody, you know, she felt like for her it's time. And then what was the purpose, you know, like what made her remove the protection? What was the intention? And also another question sparks in the mind is the HIV status like.
Mm.
Is she negative?
Because
then there's a whole new case if she's not.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. So here's another thing for me, right? Again, I am totally convinced that we must hold the police accountable for laughing off the matter in the first place.
Are they trained?
No. Let me answer that right okay. now. No. Here's the currently right now, I am dealing with a case. Hey, look, it has nothing to do with rape. But what I'm trying to get to is that I am dealing with people who are in high rankings. And when you ask them simple things that they're supposed to know about the Criminal Procedure Act, by the saving. So the training.
They're not trained.
Then the training that they have is in the beginning, but throughout their work doesn't seem to be renewed. So let me not say no as if I know, but it seems like they are not being renewed in retraining on how to deal with different aspects.
Remember
of
that cops are insensitive even towards a woman.
Correct.
Who goes to a police station
yeah.
and they've been raped.
But that's the point
how
I was making. Well, that's the
man.
Point I was making. But I also want us to be a little bit... open to the fact that cops live in society, folks. Cops are a reflection of us. Cops do what we do when anybody comes to the family and says, I was raped. Families do that. Families protect an uncle in a house where a child or a woman has been. Families do that, even though the child belongs to the family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what society does. Cops do exactly what society
yeah, don't
does.
Put our dirty laundry
yes.
out there.
Yes.
Cops say exactly what we say. That's what we say. Cops are exactly what we do. I am saying we cannot be excusing the act of the cops. And for me, these are two different things because these are two different cases. There is a criminal case that has to be revisited where all of these things will be fleshed out because exactly your point, what was the intent? Was it just a moment of I don't know, lapse in judgment?
Did she want more pleasure?
Who knows? Was it just a moment of lapse in judgment? Was it intentionally trying to harm somebody else? Was she trying to fall pregnant? All of those things have to be asked.
Mm.
But those are things in the criminal case, so that she can be responsible for what she has done and what she's put this man through. That must happen.
And lastly, now I'm with Pinelo on this one. The child is here now.
Yes.
Right? Has counseling taken place? Because the guy is angry for being trapped. We can call this trapping.
Yes.
Right? The guy is angry. There's a lot of family members, like Pamela's example, that are angry at each other. They go for counseling. They find a way. Because how is the child going to tell the story of his parents? And these two adults are not thinking about that at the moment. Even the gentleman, even though he was violated, but this is still his blood.
He's made it very clear in his papers he has no intention to be involved in this child's life ever.
So
no matter what happens, he's not getting involved in this child's life.
He wouldn't participate in
That's what he's saying in his papers. And he does confirm in his papers that he has been going counseling for himself. But when it comes to this particular child, because it's a maintenance case, and well, there's a maintenance case and a civil case, right? But because this civil case is stemming from the maintenance application that was made by the mother, we unfortunately, or the court can't appoint a social worker to deal with the mental state of the child, because it has nothing to do with access of the child. So they can be assessed to see if the father and the child can have like a bond of sorts. So they're not going to bother with that. So that will be within the mother's hands to decide whether or not will they take this child for counseling. Now the question is, what is mom saying to child when daddy isn't around, and how is that going to work? So these aspects now really have nothing to do with the law, really. It is an emotional and social aspect that has to be dealt with the parents.
Yeah, but psychologist.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay, let's hope for the best. But I think he's angry, and I wonder when that anger dies down, what remains? Will he be more? Will he apply logic? Will he feel any compassion? I don't know. But I think now this thing is very fresh and very new, and he feels violated and he's angry.
Yeah.
But maybe time. But then now, if the mother goes to jail, the child's life is really going to be difficult.
Yeah.
We don't know that, guys. We can't excuse rape. The mother, if she's a rapist, she must go to jail. Guys, there is no room for anybody, man or woman, who has...
Yes.
We cannot excuse that if the parent goes to a jail, then the child will suffer. It's the same. It's the same with an uncle who rapes people in the family, who's a breadwinner. If the parent or the uncle must go to jail, they must go to jail. People will starve, but they must go to jail.
If I throw a spanner in the works from what you're saying, if I were to be you now, the way you were in this situation, if mom goes to prison, dad is not acknowledging this child, legally speaking, as it stands, he would be the one to take on the child.
I was going to go there.
But
this is for me where the law in the state is not consistent. At one point, the law in the state wants to take away their responsibility of forcing the father to be the father of the child until the mother goes to jail. Then suddenly the state recognizes him as the father. Nonsense. If the law says that the man does not exist in the face of the law, then the law must remain exactly like that, even if she goes to jail. Hang on. Even if she goes to jail, and I think the state takes too long to kick in with its responsibilities in this case. The social workers, whether it's a maintenance case or not, should have already been in there. And the law should assist in that case. Whether it is a civil matter, whether it is a maintenance matter, the neglect of the child is too long. And the child and the mother and the father's fight should not be impacting on the child's welfare. I'm not sure both of these people actually are good for this child. By now, assessments should have been made. Some, as you're saying, psychologists should have been in there. And it may not necessarily be like a home, not in that way, but a guardian who's safe the child. Yes.
A grandmother.
A guardian who is safe, exactly, who is safe. Mm-hmm. And they must both be forced to pay maintenance for this child because they are responsible for this mess.
What I'm now saying is that as it stands, the law as it stands, it only says dads are not recognized if dads are the ones that did the raping, right? But in this situation, it does not say that if mothers are the one that did the raping, dad doesn't exist. So in this current situation that we're in, he follows the law, mom goes to prison, that's that. As it stands right now, legally speaking, the child cannot go to any other relative because he is the living guardian.
That's my problem with the law right now.
But the father does not want to be involved.
Right now, right there is my problem with the law. That the law chooses to see the man as a living biological father when it suits it, and the law chooses not to recognize the man when it suits it. That's for me the inconsistency.
I see.
When the law was drafted, did they consider a woman raping at that point in time?
No, I get it. Men write the laws, so as we don't know. All right, so thanks for all your interactions. Obviously, you know, this is me. I'm coming from a layman's point of view. I'm saying always sober with what the law says. I certainly disagree with the law in some of these instances. But here's an interesting tweet from Wendy Isaacs, who says, in addition to the maintenance issue for the child, important to also consider the trauma, the horror, indifference and taboo around children born of rape, on of which there are many in South Africa considering the high levels of rape that our society refuses to deal with. I fully agree with this because, again, you are at the end of the day with the one individual that should be the priority is actually the most neglected. With all of these cases, like what we're dealing with now, at the center of it are two people and what they want. So this woman wants maintenance and this one wants to be exonerated. All of these things are happening. I don't see the child being at the center of the argument.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole point. Because this argument in the civil court is only to do with, I do not want to be burdened with the rights.
And the other, just wanting money.
Yes.
Because I cannot be sure. Just because the woman knew what she was doing, it doesn't mean that while she's fighting for maintenance, we know what language she uses in the home.
Correct.
About your father.
Correct.
To the child. Mm. We don't know what this poor child is hearing. We don't know what this poor child is subjected to. We don't know. So this child is in the middle of, I'd say, you know, irresponsible people.
Mm. And it is incumbent on any person. Now we're talking on children's rights now. Mm. Let's put aside the case. In terms of the Children's Act, particularly Section 28 of the Constitution, which deals with the rights of children, when a child is being abused, and abuse is emotional, physical, the list is quite endless under Section 28. And any person who's witnessing this happen to this child has an obligation on them to report the person who is inflicting such abuse on this particular child. In this instance, being the maternal grandmother, maternal aunt, whatever the case may be, and have this child removed from this home so they can be raised in a home wherein they can feel the love and affection that they deserve. But now it doesn't change the situation that, how did I come to being? Where is my dad? All of these things. The child now needs to go through counseling because it's going to be something that's going to follow them for the rest of their lives. And when they finally do trace dad, they meet dad, they talk to dad, how is dad going to receive this child?
Dad is going to say nothing, and dad is going to walk away, and daddy is not interested.
So these are
daddy
the things,
does not want to be found.
So these are things that when we deal with children's cases, children's court is a very emotional court, I'm not going to lie. Because when you get in there, you're trying to fight for the rights of, for example, dad to access child. And then the other attorney is fighting to say, no, but you don't deserve that kind of access because you weren't there for so long. And then dad is saying, but I've been trying, you're not coming to the party. The child is not there to speak for themselves. There's a social worker that is there that has spoken to the child, but the child himself or herself is not present. And up until a certain age around 8 or 9, that's when they can voice themselves in terms of the Children's Act, Section 6, I think, where they can now voice their opinion on the situation. But if you're below that age, you're deemed to not have an opinion.
Yeah, because in your case, I would also deem that the mother is not fit to be a parent. I'm sorry, someone who knowingly knew what she was doing is wrong because she proceeds to apologize. I would say, you know, she's not fit herself to be a decent parent. Now fighting for maintenance and so on, when in actual fact she knew what she was doing was, is wrong. So what is she saying to the child? We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know.
What is she calling the father? We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be very,
very
bad.
And suddenly it's the child's fault.
Yes. You're the problem. You're the reason that we are here. And the unfortunate part, if I'm not mistaken, this matter is being heard in the Johannesburg High Court.
Yes, I believe so.
And now,
I think it's the Pretoria.
Pretoria. Mm. It's still the same.
Yes.
The unfortunate part is that in these particular courts, Johannesburg and Pretoria, there's a backlog for days. There's been communication that has been sent out. Matters that are opposed will be only heard in 4.5 years. So now we have 4.5 years of this child not either receiving any attention, any maintenance, any anything up until this matter is resolved. And most likely the maintenance court may just pend the maintenance issue until the High Court matter has been dealt with.
So is there a way in which the state can go back to this criminal case?
They should be forced to. Like you said, lodging a complaint, there's a process to lodge complaint.
Yeah.
So he should lodge a complaint with the relevant parties. Firstly, it starts with the captain of the police station to inform them that I've been trying to do so, and then Officer Ntabi Singh has not been coming to the party and assisting me. The captain must do his due diligence. If that fails, you go to the lieutenant, so on and so forth, until you get to the point where somebody is going to hear you. Failing which, then you can approach the court and say that I have tried and this is my trail of evidence. I would like the court to assist me to compel the police station to open a case against this particular individual. That's why I agree with you when you say the wheel of the law is unnecessarily slow when it comes to dealing with certain aspects. Other times it's too fast, and then trying to weigh up how is it that this one is slow, this one is fast. But that is unfortunately what needs to be done. You need to show that I did 1, 2, 3, 4. Our law is more reactive than it is proactive to, you know, to prevent situations from happening. It acts to after something has happened. That is unfortunate.
You totally stunned. I'm just totally stunned by this case. It's wow.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if the parties do file their papers. What are they going to say? Especially the mother.
We haven't seen what she's filed.
Well, so far he says that they haven't replied to his papers. So depending when she was served with the papers, she has about 15 days to reply to the papers. Just now they intend to settle it somehow, and they are around the round table as we speak and trying to settle, maybe. But yeah, I would love to see what the response will be.
Just take me back to what you were saying about the rights of a parent.
Yeah.
So if you've been raped as a woman, the rapist has no right to the child.
He's not recognized as a biological father.
If it's incest,
also
the rapist has no right to
correct.
The child.
Correct.
What else?
Those are the only two instances. The rest of, and of course,
so,
if
but,
you...
explain this to me.
Okay.
Explain the differences between, because I think there are differences. Anyway, in language there are.
Yeah.
The responsibility, the difference between responsibility and right. That you do not have the right to be called a father, I'm not sure. It means that you do not have the responsibility.
That's exactly what the X
for
is.
What you've done.
That's what the X says. So rights and responsibilities
are the same thing.
You do not have any of that over the
which
child.
Is where the law is failing,
yes.
In my view. Because because we have, let's say we have rapist X, who's a serial rapist, ne? Forever drops children as rapists, incest, let's say. Or just normal rapist. And is fully aware that even as they do that, they will have no responsibility towards a child. For me, it's absolute nonsense. The person who we can determine has been a rapist may not have the rights to access to that child because of safety reasons and many other reasons, but should have, the state should hold those people accountable for maintenance of these children.
The only time that I am aware, and I remember this in the regional court in Niger, the presiding officer in the regional court, whenever, but it was usually for statutory rape, not for rape in the sense that we're talking about. Because remember, that is consent that is given. Yes. The only difference is that you're below the age. So what he would do, he would say that he will give you a suspended sentence so that you can go get a job so you can support the child that is being carried by this child. But that doesn't apply to a rape in the sense that you and I are talking about.
But hang on. That was him
saying, as an individual.
Yes, that was him saying shame. That's really what he was saying.
Yeah.
As a person, gilimo to shame. Poor thing. Let's give you a space in society to get your act together.
Yeah.
And then you can then help support the child. But that's not the law.
That's not the law.
And that's my problem. The law does not insist that the person has to, because even that one who's been given a suspended sentence would not have to.
Yeah.
It's just him saying, because it would be nice for you to get your act together and be a happy family once you've grown up.
And also what's on the flip side of that downside is that section 19, if not 20, of the Children's Act states that if the parents are not within a marriage by the time that this child is conceived, the father doesn't have automatic rights and responsibilities over that child, but the mother does. So there's differences between unmarried. So,
but hang on. In that case, the law states rights and responsibilities.
Yes. So even in the definition, parent rights and responsibilities are there.
Are one and the same.
Yeah. Thing. But they are said rights and responsibilities.
Okay.
So what I'm getting to is that men don't have the automatic rights
obligations
and responsibilities
and the obligations
upon the birth over this child. Even though he was in a relationship with Ntabi Singh, as long as you were not married, you don't automatically have that. But once you make an application in terms of Section 21 of the Children's Act, then you acquire those. So that is an unmarried father. A married father, according to Section 20 of the Children's Act, says that if you were within the marriage by the time this child is conceived, even if you are now divorced or whatever, then you do acquire those automatic rights and responsibilities.
Because you were married.
Because you were married. But that does not apply at all when it comes to the mother. So what I'm trying to get to is that the balancing of the rights.
The law has got to be upgraded.
Yes.
No, we need to do something about that law. That law is...
And the only way to do that is to be like this guy. Take the matter to court so it can be developed.
But... Yes, because let me get another spanner in the works because we are now so linear in our thinking. If you have two men, right, who had decided in their relationship that they're going to now adopt or have a child, whichever way, whether it was through other mechanisms or whether it was just pure adoption, right, whether they had a surrogate, whatever the case may be, right? And the law as it stands, there will come a time when if both of them decide they've had enough of each other, that they will not be held accountable because the law says a man doesn't have the... And they're not in a marriage. If the law allows them as men not to take full responsibility and accountability, if they decide to walk away out because they got this child out of wedlock, what then happens to the child?
When that man adopts that child, he gets those rights and responsibilities. He can't give them away.
But which one?
If they got them together, your adoptive parents' rights and responsibilities are yours. You cannot get rid of them. So that is the exception to the rule.
Okay.
That is the exception to the rule to say that if you you adopted or you had a surrogate or somebody donated their eggs. So the definition is called the gamete. Mm-hmm. So the gametes that were denoted either a sperm or an egg in order for this child to come through, then you have those rights and responsibilities over that person that's going to be born. Only in the instances that we are talking about of incest and rape do these rights not apply.
And unmarried
fathers.
Which are many.
Yes.
Unmarried men are many who... have the right to walk away.
Yeah.
And the mother does not.
And so that's when usually you see what I mean? And that's when the mother usually goes and applies for maintenance. And when that maintenance comes, that's when dad is like, oh, umbile umpile chance, I'm going to apply for access.
Mare, the state had allowed him not to have the rights and responsibilities in the first place.
Yes.
in the first place, he has got the right to walk away. If he's unmarried, he has the right to just walk. Okay. Aike, Ntabise.
Yes, please.
Yeah, next week.
Next week, let's next try week. Again.
Aye, guys, let's see each other tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.